Hello. Thank you for joining us on the eighth day, the last great day. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study, and our theme for the fall holy days has been happiness. We're looking forward to this wonderful future time, the kingdom of God, when Jesus Christ and God the Father will be ruling from New Jerusalem here on earth. Today we'll take a little closer look at that New Jerusalem and what this time will mean for us. It was on the last day, the great day of the feast, that Jesus talked about rivers of living water. We'll start today by looking at a verse that we looked at recently, John 7, beginning with verse 37. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus gave us this wonderful symbolism of the rivers of living water that will flow out of our bellies. And Jesus Christ was talking about the Holy Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit within us that we are able to do good works here on planet Earth. We'll find out that in addition to these rivers of living water flowing from our bellies, there's an actual river in this New Jerusalem. We'll find out that this New Jerusalem will be an incredible city of magnificent beauty, something that has never been seen on planet Earth before. And we will find that this New Jerusalem and the return of Jesus Christ will occur at a time that makes sense to God the Father, as he is in total control over what happens here on earth. And we'll find out the reasons why this will all happen at a certain set time. For everything on planet earth, there's a season. The fall holy days begin pretty much with the start of the autumn season. And then after the autumn season, there's winter, followed by spring with the spring holy days, and summer, which is in a time of incredible growth. There's a beautiful passage from the book of Ecclesiastes that talks about the seasons. And to everything, there's a season. Let's take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up." We will see that everything that happens here on earth happens according to God's perfect plan and time. We will find out that nothing happens by chance to God when he is looking at the salvation of mankind. God thoroughly plans what will be happening here on earth for our benefit so that we will have the opportunity for salvation. Verse 4, "There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." We will find out that in this future time, it will be a time of great celebration. During the Feast of Trumpets, we found out that the trumpet was used as a sign of warning to call people to battle. We will see that in the future, the trumpet will be used solely for entertainment and recreational purposes. Verse 5, "There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. During this current time, it is a time of war, and it is a time of hate. This future kingdom of God will be a time of peace. Peace beyond just the absence of war. There will be this incredible love between people here on earth. The kingdom of God will be this future time of happiness for us. It is during this future time that we see this new Jerusalem. It should come as no surprise to us that we also have a vision of a new heavens and a new earth. Everything will be made new. Isaiah the prophet wrote about this in Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people a joy. This new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem will be an extremely happy place. Some places think of themselves as the happiest place on earth. Even those places will not be happy compared to the standards of this new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth. Verse 19, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. If you've ever had a sad occasion in your life, if you've ever had a loss, if you've ever had a tragedy that leaves you speechless, stunned, without words to say, those situations will be no more in this wonderful time of this new Jerusalem, this new heavens, and this new earth. Verse 20, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. We have this vision that there will be no death of infants, nor will there be an old person who dies. Only the sinners will see death at this time. The righteous who live will not see death. Verse 21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. Living here in El Paso, there are thousands of homes built, and more homes are being built, and more homes are being built. And who is it that builds these homes? Typically, it's not the people who live in the homes. It's laborers. And here on the border, sometimes the laborers are paid a much lower wage than what might be paid in other parts of the country. That's a form of oppression. In this future time, people who build homes, they'll have the opportunity to live in those homes. They'll plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. So what do we do with vineyards? We harvest grapes. And for those who like, they make wine out of those grapes. All of that will be happening during this time. People will have plenty of food. They will have nice homes. They will enjoy what they have done as a result of their labor. They will not be working so that other people can benefit. Everyone will benefit from their own labor. Verse 22. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Everything that people will do in this new Jerusalem, in this time of a new heavens and new earth, will result in blessings going back to the people who are working. It's an incredible vision, something that we simply do not see in today's world. Verse 24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." We think of our relationship with God today as one where we ask God and pray to God on a daily basis. God will know what our needs are and will respond during this future time for the people who are living then in ways we simply do not see today. This future time will be a time of loving and total support. People will not only live a life of blessings, they will have a deep and personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ that will be very real to them. Their lives will not have any needs that go unmet. People today struggle to take care of the needs in their lives, trying to balance a budget to take care of a family. Those situations simply will not exist in this future time because there will be plenty for everyone. Let's look at verse 25. "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." Animals of prey, animals that are venomous, who we fear, will no longer be animals of prey. There will be no animals that people fear. This will be a time of total peace. People will be at ease in their lives. This future time is so incredible, it is nearly and almost impossible for us to fully grasp how wonderful this time will be. One of the Psalms records what this time may lead people to think. Let's take a look at Psalm 98, beginning with verse 1. Psalm 98, verse 1. "O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and that they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity." Judging with righteousness and equity are themes that we see in this world of the future, with the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. Today, people have very legitimate rights to fear when they are brought before a judge. There are prosecuting attorneys who have political motivations that go beyond what happens in that courtroom. That is an evil that exists in today's world. We have judges who, in the state that I live in, Texas, are elected by people. So every decision that comes out of their courtroom has political ramifications. Our judicial system has lopsided results. Civil rights advocates will look at people who are incarcerated and identify that certain minorities have higher incarceration rates than other minorities. We look at equity. This future time will be a time of peace. It will be a time when people are judged righteously by the Lord, and people will be judged with equity. But it will also be a time of incredible rejoicing. How happy would you be? How happy would your neighbors be if there were no worries, if all of your needs were met? This will be a time when instead of using the trumpet to sound an alarm, the trumpet will simply be used to make a joyful noise before the Lord, who is the King. Before this wonderful future time of incredible peace, there will be one final battle that will take place. We'll take a look at what is recorded for us in the book of Zechariah, verse 14. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The entire world will initially fight against God and Jesus Christ. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. What happens in the future in Jerusalem is an incredible, barbaric act of war. The worst that we see in war will one day soon happen in Jerusalem. Let's notice verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. If you have ever felt in your life it was you against the world, you can take comfort in knowing that in this future time, it will be God and God's angels and God's people who will be fighting against the world. And I've got some good news for you that I'll share with you in advance. That's a battle we win. Verse 4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley. What we think of geologically is a rift valley, a valley created by a massive earthquake. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. So at this future time, at the return of Jesus, when Jesus stands on the Mount of Olives, there will be this incredible earthquake. If an earthquake is going to move a mountain, split it in half, it's a very high magnitude earthquake. It'll be a very scary and traumatic event for the people who are in the immediate area. This will be something that if there is still news coverage, we'll get immediate on-air coverage. It's not something that is going to be missed by the people. Verse 5, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach until Azal. Yea, ye shall flee like ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. So who are the saints? The resurrected children of God, the Christians who have died in the faith. Verse 6, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day, not night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. So at this future time, when everyone expects the sun to go down and the birds are starting to settle down in their nests, well, night will not come because the righteousness of God will be shining forth from Jerusalem. Verse 8, And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and winter shall it be. There will be no limit to the flowing of this river of living water, of the Holy Spirit. This will be a time when all who call on the name of God for salvation and mercy will have their opportunity for salvation. Verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Ramon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Coming face to face with God and Jesus Christ in their glory will be very similar to coming face to face with a nuclear explosion. That is the kind of power that emanates from God. God, in this case, will use his majesty to consume his enemies. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of the heathen around about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. In a time of unexpected tragedy, which is what will happen to the people who were fighting against God when Jesus and God the Father return, they will turn on each other. That's the nature of mankind. Verse 15, and so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We may be unique in observing the Feast of Tabernacles today. In the future, everyone will be observing the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. So we don't know for sure if there will be people who will test the patience of God, but we get a good indication that that's a very likely thing to happen. The nature of man will not immediately go away, and those people will suffer drought. Giving us some examples, and if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all that they sacrifice shall come and take of them, and seeth therein. And then that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. There will be no more a time of division in this future time. This will be a time of total unity. And anyone who chooses to ignore what God requires will receive a punishment, as was mentioned here, where they have no rain. Moving forward in prophecy, we come down to this idea that what will happen to the people who did not die in the faith? Are these people who are tormented forever and ever in hell? And the answer is no, of course not. God is not cruel in that way as man would see God as being cruel. Ezekiel the prophet gives us a beautiful vision of the resurrection of people to a physical and mortal life. Let's take a look at Ezekiel 37, verse 1. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. These were bones that had been there for hundreds of years, thousands of years. They were dry. Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I behold, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. The vision we've been given is the vision of a horror movie, something that we might expect to see for people who observe Halloween. That's something that we as Christians would not observe, but it's a very perverse vision of this future time. Verse 9, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So just as somebody can use CPR and mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to bring a person to life who's had a heart attack or stopped breathing, similarly, this is what God will do to bring life into these physically restored bodies. Verse 11, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. In this future time, those who have died will be resurrected to physical life, to live in this world of the future. This vision of this future time was not lost upon the early apostles. Peter wrote about this future time in his second epistle. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Time does not matter to God as it matters to us. That's the big aha to take away from this passage. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us toward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when we look at God and say, wow, God delays his coming, what God is doing is giving more people the chance of salvation. We should not be selfish in how we look at God's timing, because God's timing is perfect not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of all of mankind. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Thieves do not announce when they're going to break into your house. They do not send a notice. They do not ask your permission. Thieves break in when least expected. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, when it is not expected, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The day of the Lord will not be missed. People will know when the day of the Lord has arrived. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, verse 13, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. This concept of new heavens and new earth has been understood for the longest of times. It was talked about in the prophets, by the prophets of the Old Testament. It was talked about by the early apostles. We are talking about it now. There will be this time of new heavens and new earth. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also has, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. There are some Christians who believe that they are already saved. If you're already saved, you cannot fall away. You cannot fall from your own steadfastness. It is still possible for us to lose salvation if we do not stay steadfast. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This future time will be a time of incredible peace, partly because Satan the devil will no longer have influence over planet Earth. We're going to take a look at some verses from Revelation 20 that we took a look at recently when we were studying the Day of Atonement. Let's take a look at Revelation 20, verse 1. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. That is what we are looking at today, the rest of the dead. Those who reign with Christ, finishing the thought in verse 5, are part of the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So, the beast and the false prophet, when they're tossed into the lake of fire, are consumed with fire because they're simply people. It will be the devil who is tormented forever and ever. Moving on to verse 11, talking about the throne of God here on earth. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. In this future time, death and hell will be destroyed in fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This future time, all people will have their time of salvation if they do not currently have salvation afforded to them. Moving on to Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. At this point, after there is no more mortal men, that all people are either consumed in fire or become spirit and immortal beings, that is the time we will see this new heaven and new earth. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now is the time of our salvation. That's why these words are written for our benefit today. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. So what's a furlong? We measure a furlong today as being a little over 200 meters. That's going to be 2,400,000 meters at least. That's 2,400 kilometers, approximately 1,500 miles. So think of a city that is 2,400 kilometers by 2,400 kilometers, or 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. It's going to be a little bit bigger than that, but just estimating, that's an easy way to do math. This is an incredibly large city, unlike anything we have seen in this world today. And it's going to be a city of incredible beauty. This will be a city that will not only be square as far as a physical size, the width and the length, but the height of it also will be 2,400 kilometers or 1,500 miles. This is a city that will be so tall that if it were built today, it would be built higher than the limits of our atmosphere. We would have space vehicles colliding on a routine basis with the city. That's how tall this new Jerusalem will be. Verse 17, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. That's a height of more than 200 feet tall. That would be like a 20-story building all the way around the edge with the city. Verse 18, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass, so pure that you can see through it without any impurities. Verse 19, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, and the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysosporus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. Incredible, beautiful, precious metals and stones. This is a time when Satan the devil has been exiled to the lake of fire, and he's burning and burning and burning and burning, and that's his punishment. In Ezekiel 28, verse 13, we can be reminded of what Satan was originally covered in. When he was in the garden of God, he was adorned with every precious stone and the precious metals. He was absolutely perfect in his workmanship. This new Jerusalem will be of perfect workmanship, and unlike Satan the devil, New Jerusalem will not rebel against God and will be an eternal location of righteousness. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring their glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. All who are saved will be welcome in this new Jerusalem. And what will we see within this new Jerusalem? Revelation 22, verse 1. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. In other words, do not worship me, an angel, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. When Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, they no longer had access to the tree of life. all will have access to the Tree of Life in this new Jerusalem. Verse 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. With the eighth day, the last great day of the feast, coming to an end, we come to the end of God's plan of salvation. God's holy days are given to us each and every year to remind us of God's plan of salvation. And even though we're coming to the end of our observance of the holy days, does not take away from us our responsibility to live a life that is worthy of salvation, to be part of this future new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem. Each and every day as we live our life, we have this incredible responsibility to make our calling and election sure before God. We see this incredible vision of this time of happiness. And as we live a life in this present world that is filled with evil, we can take comfort in this future time of happiness. We can use this future time as inspiration for us to serve God, so that in the future, when it is God's time to call all of mankind, that they will be able to consider the example that we had and accept the calling of God. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together again on the weekly Sabbath. Until next time, thank you for joining us today.